I have not been wearing glasses for 2 years. Not for very long. So for most of my life, I have not been having these things on my face. And it came to a point in my life where I was doing this a lot. I was kind of, yeah, because I'm old. And I was squinting, and I did not want to get glasses. My wife wears glasses. My son, who's 18, wears glasses. My daughter, who is 20, wears glasses. So I was the only one in the house that didn't wear glasses. And I was kind of like, I was very prideful about that. But then my wife finally convinced me to go to the optometrist, the eye doctor. And he did the whole now, this one. And he got me my prescription for my glasses. And I'll never forget 2 weeks after I had the eye exam, I got my glasses and I put them on my face and I started walking around and I was like, I didn't realize how much I couldn't see. I didn't realize how out of focus my life was. Because I had just gotten used to seeing things kind of blurry, not really being able to read very well. And once I slid these glasses on, my life really came into focus. And if you have never experienced that in your life, that's crazy. But I want you to know that we are all called to grow in our focus and our knowledge of God. Have you ever experienced this with God before? Learning something new about Him totally changes your perspective. Rhetorical question. Are you growing in your knowledge of God? So many of us in our lives, you and I, in our lives, they're out of focus. But let's be honest. Anyone with a real walk with the Lord is constantly growing in their knowledge of who God is and their understanding of who God is. We're going to look into a long passage of Scripture tonight. It's going to be from the New Living Translation. I want to explain to you, because there are so many different translations of the Scripture, I want to explain to you why I like the New Living. The New Living Translation is translated at about a ninth grade level. So the verbiage is understandable. And then the translation is not a word-for-word translation, meaning they didn't take the word "the" and translate it. They translated it in a thought-for-thought. Because sometimes if you translate it word-for-word, you can lose some of the message. And so they took it sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, and made sure that it translated well. So that's why I particularly love the New Living Translation. It is also the translation of the Fire Bible Youth Alive Edition. Now, I always read, this is my carrying Bible. This is the Bible that I read from. Now, also, I know it's not very well lit in here, so I put it on my iPad. You know, copy and paste, right? So I'll read it from my iPad for you tonight. And I know it's a lot of scripture, but I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to know it's one story. Luke 24:13 through the following. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written along their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here these last few days." Jesus says, "What things?"
the things that have happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God, all people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from his group of followers were at the tomb early in the morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who had told them, Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus, who they didn't recognize, looked at them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures these things concerning himself. But this time, by this time they were nearing Emmaus, the town they were journeying to, and Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay with us, since it's getting late. So he went home with them, and they sat down to eat. He took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us about the road, on the road, and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them. They said, the Lord is risen. He has appeared. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. In verse 16, I want us to look at that really quickly. Verse 16, it says this, but God kept them from recognizing him. I don't really know why. We're going to look at that tonight a little bit. I don't know if you have ever had your parents kind of do something, but they kept the true meaning from you. Here's a story of my friend. His name is Brandon. And when he was a little kid, his mom set out a massive jar of candy. And she said, okay, she had three sons. And she said, today we're going to play a game. And I'm going to call you from any area of my house. I'm going to call you from downstairs, upstairs, in the laundry room, in the bathroom, in my bedroom, in your bedroom, in the kitchen, in the garage. And if you hear me and you run and find me, you get a piece of candy. So this was an all-day thing, all throughout the day. Brandon, 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 Brandon. And every time he'd hear his mom's voice, he'd run to her, and she'd get a piece of candy. And at the end of supper that night, she sat down and said, now, wasn't that a fun game? Oh, yeah, can we play it tomorrow? Well, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, we're not going to play the game, but anytime that I call you and you tell me you can't hear me, I know you can, because I called your name from every area of the house, sometimes softly, sometimes loud. I know you can hear me, and you can't say to me, oh, I didn't hear you because I was playing my game. Oh, I didn't hear you because somebody was talking to me. She said, I know that you can hear me. So there was kind of a little hidden meaning behind that game. And then in verse number 18 and 19, it says this, then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all of these things that have happened there in the last few days. Now, I don't know in this moment if Jesus was being a little funny. I'll be honest with you. Because sometimes, have you ever been telling your friend a story about something that has happened, and they're giving you that, oh, yeah, yeah, really. You know, it's like they know what you're saying because they already know the story. And I don't know if Jesus in that moment, I mean, he was Jesus, and he's talking to Jesus about Jesus. I mean, really. And Jesus answered, oh, no, what things? And he has Cleopas continue. Back in the day, there was this show, and
this little guy I always get, what you talking about, Willis? I think it was that kind of a moment. Jesus had that with these two on the road to Emmaus. This is probably one of the most vivid accounts of Jesus appearing after the resurrection. The journey to Emmaus, and that's what this story is a both literal and spiritual journey. On one hand, it is the account of two followers after the crucifixion of Jesus. They're walking 7 miles. I've never walked 7 miles in my life, I'll be very honest with you. I've never walked 7 miles, especially on purpose. But that was how they got around. They didn't have the cool, you know, electric skateboards like my son has today. On this other hand of the journey, they did not recognize who Jesus was. Mind-blowing. I want us to look at, I'm going to go through these things really quickly. There are a few things I want us to look at in this passage. Number one, Jesus seeks us. Jesus seeks us. Even though they knew who Jesus was, they didn't recognize him. You see, they knew a lot about Jesus. They had witnessed to all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They had heard about it. They didn't know Jesus. And let's be honest, God didn't want them to recognize him at that moment. Jesus is not being cruel here. This is a gradual revelation. So these guys would learn a lesson, like Brandon and his mom with the candy. The events that had happened weren't according to their expectations. While God always has a plan, we are not privy to that plan. You and I don't know what's going on sometimes. Look at me. Yeah, that's the truth. I don't always know what's going on. They had little faith. They had heard the reports of the women who went to the tomb. They had seen the empty tomb for themselves, and yet they had not believed. The supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside of what they'd ever experienced. Jesus was raised from the dead? They had never really seriously considered who Jesus was. He was God's son. Boom sauce. You and I, we need to be careful not to make the same mistake. To discount what God has done simply because we can't explain it with our own words. God will use natural things to accomplish his will, but he also does things supernaturally. Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus, in verse 27, started quoting from the scriptures, talking about Moses and continuing on. Well, we don't know the specific passages that he used. It says that he spoke with them and shared with them the whole fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. It was an amazing moment. We know that Jesus took the time to explain to them what had just happened. And Jesus wanted them to see, if they would only believe what the scriptures say about him, they would understand why he came and why he has to suffer. Listen, the truth is, these guys were expecting Jesus to come as a conqueror. To conquer the enemies of Israel. But Jesus did come as a conqueror, right? He came to conquer sin and death. So two different concepts, but one was reality. We talked about your generation. And the truth is this, many people will try to tell you who Jesus is. They will tell you he is one of many ways to get to heaven. They will tell you he's a good man, a great prophet, a good teacher, or a rebel who defied the Roman authorities. But outside of the knowledge of Scripture, you will never have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. This is a reason why it's so important that we believe in God's Word. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the Scripture. For if it's untrustworthy at any point, then it can be untrustworthy at every point. It's either all God's word or it's not God's word at all. The Scripture, the Bible, tells us about the truth of Jesus. I learned this a long time ago. The Bible is that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The Scripture tells us the truth about Jesus. And in verse 30, Jesus sat down, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And suddenly their eyes were opened and Jesus revealed himself. But when they recognized him, he disappeared. Jesus reveals himself to those whose eyes are open through the truths of his word. I love that they sat down to eat a meal. Come on, people. Time and time again, we see Jesus revealing truth when he sits down to a table. A true act of fellowship. Fellowship with him is not about an ability to see God physically, but taking him at his word. And here we go. The final response. Once they recognized him, they couldn't help but share about Jesus. When your eyes have been opened, you will want others to have their eyes open. It was like the first time I put on my glasses and I could see clearly. When we know Jesus, when we know how amazing he is, when we see what he has done, that he died on a cross, Jesus, God's only Son, died on a cross, was buried, and then 3 days later, that's where this story is, 3 days later, he rose again. Powerful story. Their encounter with Jesus had been emotional. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but I am an emotional guy. It's okay to be emotional. It stirred them. It moved them. And if something cool happens, don't you just want to share it with your friends? Don't you just want to share the story? Bro, did you see what happened? Did you see that? Have you heard about that? Wasn't that? When cool stuff happens, that's what we want to tell the story. And in this moment, these guys had an incredible experience with the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they couldn't help but share their experience. They weren't even able to contain it. They ran to the disciples and began to share that they saw Jesus. Jesus told Thomas in John 20, 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. Jesus wants to open our heart to see him in a way that we never have before. To really, truly understand that he is God's Son. He is the risen Savior. He died for us
on a cross, and 3 days later was resurrected. I don't know about you, but it goes back to my passion. I want everybody to find Jesus. And I want you to have the same passion that I do. That your friends find Jesus. Your family. Your school. Your community. Find Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me tonight?